Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Extensive Reading Podcast, where we take an intensive look at extensive reading. I'm Travis. Along with me, as always...
Jose.
It's been a while, Jose.
It's been a while, yes. It's been 2 months. Wow. 2 months. Yes, a long, long time. And we took a summer break, long summer break, but we're back.
We're back.
And full of strength. And we're going to have a great fifth episode. Along us is going to be Paul Goldberg, who founded and created the X Reading Virtual Library, which is a very, very interesting project.
And we've heard Paul Goldberg before, actually, on our very first episode of the Extensive Reading podcast. We had a little 1 minute snippet of Paul giving
very good reasons why extensive reading. Should be done.
Yeah, and so we'll give them more than 1 minute today.
Hopefully.
I think this will be really nice coming off of our last interview with Tom Robb a few months ago, where we talked about the Moodle Reader and mReader.
Yes,
and I think this is closely related, and so yeah, it's thematically a really good connection here. So I'm looking forward to hearing from Paul about how this all got started, and his experiences and how it's progressing. So.
So let's move on.
So stay with us.
Thanks for coming here.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Thanks. Paul came all the way to now for the interview, which we appreciate. It's much better than having you on Skype. And so what got you into extensive reading in the first place?
I think intuitively it was something I was always felt was necessary before I knew what extensive reading was. Mm-hmm. That I look back at some of my old notes when I first got into teaching, which I mentioned earlier was about 1993. So not in the same league as, you know, Tom Robb, but, you know, yeah. I've been teaching for quite a while. And I just felt that students needed to be reading something that was easy. That was the most important thing. So I remember looking at my notes and seeing a lecture I had given to students at a university saying that, you know, showing the percent of words they should know. And this is long before I'd read anything. It just seemed to me that you can't learn that many vocabulary words at once, which is maybe how I first got into it, because I was more into vocabulary and just saw students struggling to learn so many words or memorizing lots of words and forgetting them. And it just made sense to me, no, if you're reading, you don't want to see 10 or 20 words on a page you don't know. You want something very simple. And I think I gave lectures many, many times on that idea, and, you know, showing that, you know, what percentage, if you know that, you know, if you get this many unknown words, you can't possibly, you know, if you have 10 unknown words on a page and you read 10 pages, that's 100 unknown words. You're going to learn 100 words. No, you're not. But at the time, this is long before I came to Japan, I didn't know about the existence of graded readers. So it was always one of those things when I'd give this lecture, and it, generally I get students like this light bulb moment, like, ah, oh, yeah, it should be something easy. So I could tell they appreciated what I was telling them. And then after I'd give this lecture, I would try to run away as fast as possible because of the question I knew was going to be coming, which was,
where can we find
yeah, what should we read? And, you know, the best answer I knew was children's books, but I didn't really think those would be appropriate. But I really had no idea of the existence of graded readers until I came to Japan, and then, you know, which was 2004. Mm-hmm. One of my colleagues said, oh, you know, we have graded readers here. And he, you know, showed me what they had at the Oxford Library. It just happens I then went on vacation to Korea, a place I had taught before, and met a teacher who I really respected. And he also was getting into extensive reading. You know, I'd worked with him for 3 years, and we never brought up extensive reading. We were more into making like games and things for language learning, communicative games. And he's like, yeah, now I have all my students read books. He wasn't using graded readers because they didn't have graded readers there very much. But hearing him and hearing my colleague talk about graded readers, I said, okay, let me try this. And that's pretty much how I got into it. I was teaching four reading writing classes and had them all, you know, read a book, per one book per week, discuss the book with their classmate. And it went very well.
That was in Japan.
Yes. Yeah, it was my first year teaching in Japan.
And before that, you were speaking about teaching in, was that teaching in Spain or Venezuela?
I've taught in Venezuela and Spain. Those are mostly like Eikaiwa style classes, mm-hmm. business classes. It was when I went to Korea that I started teaching at the university. I was teaching in Jeju Island, and there was not at that time many foreign teachers, and most foreign teachers usually stayed for a year or two. Mm-hmm. So I kind of became the senior foreign professor. I mean, I was called a professor. I don't know if I really qualified as one. So I was often called in to give lectures to teachers who were teacher training, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's where I got the ideas of, you know, extensive reading without knowing it existed.
Mm-hmm. So when you were saying you were giving lectures about how you needed to read easy texts,
yeah.
and then having to run away because there weren't any, you meant Jeju Island?
Yeah.
In Korea.
But even other, yeah, mostly Jeju Island.
I was just curious, maybe that was Spain. And
yeah. No, Spain, I probably, again, it was over 20 years ago, so I don't remember what I was promoting, but I think mm-hmm. my main focus on teaching has always been students need to be actively engaged in the language, mm-hmm. Which I know is kind of related to some of the things you've been talking about, output and input.
Yeah, about which you're very welcome to tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Paul is referencing continuing the debate section, which we were kind of debating what's the role of input, what's the role of output.
We even brought Stephen Crush in for our last episode.
Do you have an opinion?
Yes. I have an opinion about lots of things. I don't know if it's particularly right. For me, in my teaching experience, I think output is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also related to how I learn a language. I was...
You told me that learning Spanish...
Yeah, I was telling Jose I learned Spanish. So I can listen to something endlessly and just not pick it up. I've lived in Japan for 12 years. I can barely speak mm-hmm. the language. Mm-hmm. I can listen to a song, and I've actually tried this. I can listen to a song repeatedly for day after day, and once it's over, I just cannot remember any of the words. It's just the way my brain works, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I know the only way I could learn a language is by actually engaging it, using it, writing it, speaking it. If I don't do that, I'm just not going to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the most important thing, my takeaway from that is that output hypothesis, input hypothesis, they're both right. It depends on the learner.
I agree.
I think that's something that's neglected or maybe just not realistic in a classroom environment where you have one teacher and lots of students, but I think each student learns in different ways. My sister, she can listen to a song 3 times and then sing it without the song on. I could listen to it 500 times and I can't remember more than one line. So I think it really depends.
Yeah, and I think for most people, it shouldn't be one or the other. Mm-hmm. It should be some kind of balance of both,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was wondering, maybe you, while you're listening to that song like time and again, maybe you don't remember the exact words, but somewhere in your brain, that connection is being made, you know?
Let's hope so.
Yeah, or while the song is playing, I can sing with it. I can actually remember all the words while the music is there, but as soon as it's turned off, I just can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I learned one, I always joke, there's one song I learned in my life, Happy Birthday.
Yeah,
but I did learn when I was in college, I learned one song, and just because we were on a school trip and everybody was singing, I actually had to write it out and just learn it word by word and test myself was the only way I could learn it. Don't know.
You're listening to The Mind of Paul Goldberg.
Yeah, probably not what people are interested in.
No, that's good. Well, let's take a look.
What is sex reading?
Yeah.
Am I going too fast?
No, it's perfect.
Okay, well, yeah.
Say it again. We've been talking about X reading for a while, and we haven't actually said what it is, and we have Paul here, so...
I'd be a good person to answer that question. X reading is it's an online library of hundreds of graded readers. Students can access on their phone, on their mobile device, or on their computer, anywhere, anytime, with no limitation. And it's connected to a learner management system. That allows teachers to track everything their students are doing.
Something like Moodle, Like when you said a management.
Like Moodle or Blackboard, but it's a learner management system built specifically for X reading. Mm-hmm. So where Moodle and Blackboard are great because they do so many things, they also have a high learning curve. Where the X reading learner management system is very, very simple. Students, like when students log in, they basically have to push one button that they see when they log in says add book. And then they open the book and they can see, you know, next page or previous page. Mm-hmm. So I've actually had schools ask me, oh, can you come in and give a workshop to our teachers how to use X reading and give a workshop to our students? I'm like, well, I can give one to your teachers. If I give a workshop to your students, it's going to be a very, very short workshop. Yeah, log in, press the add book button, read your book.
So basically, this is like a library, only virtual, right? It's not like you could go to a library, borrow your books, but this is not a physical library. This is something that's on your mobile phone or on...
Correct. Yeah, and we have books from major publishers. So people sometimes think it's, you know, our books, mm-hmm. but we don't make, X Reading doesn't make any books. Mm-hmm. We partner with all the major, most of the major publishers, Oxford, Cambridge, Macmillan, Cengage, you know, the big ones, and some smaller ones that aren't so well known, like Helbling, ELI, Tamai, which is actually comes from a made in Japan. And mm-hmm. so trying to give students as big a selection as possible.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, and for our previous episode, we were talking with Tom Robb, and he was telling us about like mReader. So how is it different than?
Good question. I get that all the time. I think maybe because the names are similar, mm-hmm. it causes some confusion because I'll hear some schools say, well, you know, we have mReader, we don't need X Reading, or we're considering mReader and not X Reading. They're totally different. In fact, they're complementary. Mm-hmm. mReader is a quiz website. That's basically right. All it is. It's fantastic because it's so many quizzes. I think I heard Tom say over 6,000. And it's free, which is great. X Reading is a library. X Reading is the actual books.
You have the books.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So that's why other people say to me, so why is mReader's free? Why do we have to pay for X Reading? Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, because the same reason, if you were to buy all these books, you'd have to pay for them. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the big difference. We actually have, from last year, we have integrated mReader into X Reading. So students can take the mReader quizzes in X Reading without, students don't know they're leaving X Reading, as it's done through something called an API, which basically they just press the quiz button and the website brings them to mReader, but they don't know it. They think they're still on X Reading. They take the quiz. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is we have our own quizzes in X Reading, which I think are better, but they do have some limitations. But the main reason is that allows students to select physical books that we don't have in X Reading, or a student who prefers a physical book to get that book, read it, and then go to X Reading and register to X Reading and take the quiz and then get credit for that book in X Reading. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have some schools that have told me, you know, we have 10,000 books in our library. We're not going to discard that just for X Reading. I'm like, absolutely, you don't have
to. You don't have to.
You know, and that way your students have a lot more options. Mm-hmm.
Speaking to that, do you think there's an advantage of doing like extensive reading through X Reading than just through the library?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Main advantage being, number one, I mean, I have my phone in my pocket right now. Right. That means I have at this moment,
books.
641 books in my pocket right now. I also have 641 CDs, which is good. Actually, no CDs because I don't have a CD player anymore. So I have the books, I have the audio. So that's the biggest advantage, mm-hmm. That students can read. They always have access to those books. And it's not just a matter of, I have them in, you know, wherever I want, whenever I want. It's the fact that, you know, go back to the library. The library isn't always available for students, whether it's the evening, Sundays.
You want a book at 3 a.m.?
Yes, exactly. A student has gone home and realized they forgot a book. A student has gone home and remembered a book, but then realizes, I don't really like this book, but I'm stuck with it until I can get back to school. I think one of the biggest advantages of the system, and it's probably the least taken advantage of by schools using X Reading, is vacation time. It's a perfect, a perfect way. At my university, we tried implementing a summer reading program. We have two reading courses, the first semester and second semester. So we tried having a reading program, that summer reading program, where students in the first reading course, who are automatically going to go to the second one, have to read a series of books, you know, 10 books or something.
Sure.
But we can never do it because the students had no access to the university library.
Whereas if they have the...
Yeah, something like X Readings, they can do that.
Isn't it more difficult to read for a longer period, for a long period on a screen?
It's a good question I get is, you know, when I first started, you know, coming out with X Reading and presenting on it, a question I often got or concern was, well, you know, I don't want to lead my students to getting eye strain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want my students, you know, they're already reading so much on their phone. So I thought about that. And first of all, it's a little bit different question. We use adaptive text.
Yeah,
in X-Reading?
Not PDF.
Not PDF, so there's no pinching and zooming. You can make the text as large as you want.
Right.
But the other factor, and I have a slide on my presentation, which I've now added, and since I've added the slide, I never get any questions, which is how many minutes do you expect your students to read per day? Extensive reading. And the average is anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes per day. And then look, how many minutes are students in Japan looking at their smartphone? This comes from the Japan Times from last year. It's something like 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. So like, yes, they may get eye strain from looking at their phone.
But it's not going to be because of hours.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not going to be from extensive reading. Yeah. And I have a great slide that shows, you know, it's basically a bar graph showing, you know, this is how much time they're doing extensive reading. And then this tremendous bar, this is how much time they're looking at their phone. So evident.
At the beginning, when I first heard or read about doing extensive reading online, I didn't even know about X Reading yet. My first thought was, oh, I don't really like this. You know, I really like to have the book, and I don't see my students like if you're really hooked with a book, you want your students to read for a long period of time, you know. But then thinking about X Reading, I thought this is realistic. This is what I am not. You know?
Yeah.
And this is something that students are going to do anyway. They're going to be hooked to their mobile phones or smartphones.
As you said,
3.5 hours every day. So let's just as well take advantage of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I understand people prefer print books. I personally prefer print books. You know, I have to often look through graded readers to get some information. And I have a massive library in my office. And yeah, I just grab the book off the shelf. It just, you know, I don't think a book will ever be replaced in terms of simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, I don't have that library with me anytime I step away from my office. I think that's the key advantage.
So you told us about the advantages from the point of view of the students, but there's also advantages from the point of view of the teachers.
Oh yeah, for teachers, it's the fact that it tracks everything your students are doing. Now it has quizzes, and I'm happy about that. But people think it's a quiz website, and it's absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
The quizzes are totally optional. You can choose the X Reading quizzes, you can choose the M Reader quizzes, and there's some significant differences between them. Or you can choose no quizzes. You can tell if a student has read the book by their reading speed. It's more difficult to fake an authentic reading speed than it is to cheat on a quiz, even the M Reader quizzes, which do have a lot of security. So if a teacher is really interested in that, but then I have some people say, well, you know, it's still not up to me to monitor what my students are doing. And I say, that's fine. You're not required to assess what your students are doing at all. It could just be a library of graded readers for your students. So it's really whatever the teacher wants it to be.
That's great.
And I got a lot of misconceptions. I think the problem is teachers, they're used to doing extensive reading one way because of their limit of resources. They don't realize, so they when they get to X Reading, which really expands what they're able to do, it takes them a while to realize, if they realize it at all, I can do so much more. Like a simple thing is, you know, having all of your students read the same book sometimes, that most teachers can't do that. It's not even something that enters their mind.
Yeah, they just don't have the books for it.
Right? Yeah, with X Reading, you can. And, you know, that's one of the things I've been promoting. Not that you need X Reading for that, because you could have every student choose their own book. But from my experience, students actually prefer to read the same book as their classmates if there's some interesting and engaging activities connected to that. And if the idea is to make students enjoy reading, then that probably should be implemented at some point. But many teachers doesn't even occur to them.
Right.
Same thing with the summer reading. They think, oh, students can do extensive reading when they have access to the library. So they don't think of it. Oh, yeah, we could actually have them read over summer vacation.
Could it be a research tool? Like, can you
Can I make an announcement?
Sure, yes, please.
Yeah, so it's the perfect research tool. And we're actually going to offer grants. We did 2 years ago. That didn't work out very well for people interested in doing research. And when I say grants, it basically just means free access to the system, because I then have to pay the publisher. So it's not totally free. But yeah, it's perfect because having done research and extensive reading myself, I know what do you do? You have to basically ask your students, what did you read? How much did you read? When did you read? And even if they're being honest, which they're not always, because they don't want to portray themselves as a bad learner, they often forget.
Yeah.
X-Reading, all the data is there. You just one button you have to push. Every page in X-Reading has a export to Excel button, and all the data is right there. Mm-hmm. So it's an ideal tool for research. And I wish more people do it. I mean, it benefits X-Reading because hopefully it would then be mentioned in any research. And it doesn't have to be research about X-Reading. Like I have people say, I want to do research with X-Reading, but, I'm really interested in knowing my students' reading speed, not so much about X-Reading itself. I'm like, perfect. Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it can do. You can see so much data that you could never get, any other way. What times your students are typically reading, it's a very, probably not a very serious study, but let's say you have class at, 9 a.m. on Tuesday, and you want to see, let's see how many of my students wait until 8:50 or the night before. You can see that kind of information. I can see easily when the most users are on X-Reading. So I get a general idea. I'm just looking at it just to see how things are going with our server, but a teacher could easily use that data.
Yeah, that's really powerful.
So has X-Reading changed your view of extensive reading at all? And as you were saying, you can have an idea of when your students read and what their habits are. So I don't know, what have you learned about the way your students do extensive reading through using X-Reading?
To be honest, I don't have too many thoughts on that. I saw that question. I should have mentioned that. Yeah, I'd say my biggest change is I just realize now that students need to do a lot of extensive reading.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the past, I just thought, okay, it should be simple. It should be something you enjoy. But it never occurred to me. The whole massive amounts is something I've changed. But I don't know if X-Reading has really changed that, other than X-Reading makes it so much easier for students to get access to those graded readers. I used to be happy if my students would read a book a week. Yeah. Now, if I was, back to teaching those kind of classes, I would be, no, it should be, a book a day. It used to be a book a week because they would come to class once a week and they would get a book. I would bring books, now I can say, read much more. So that would be one change. My way of using, I guess, extrinsic motivation, my grading rubric, I would change now. I've learned, if you tell your students, if you read 100,000 words, that the vast majority, when they get to 100, you need 100,000 words to pass. When they get to 100,001 words, they're going to stop. Some of them might finish the book.
Yeah.
But many of them are going to stop. So one thing I would do different from what I was teaching before is I would make for, a rubric saying, okay, if you want to just pass this class, you need maybe 60,000 words. Mm-hmm. To get like a 60. If you want to get a 70, you have to read 70,000 words. If you want to get an 80, 100,000 words, 90, 150,000 words. And if you want to get a perfect 100, 200,000 words. So I think you'll have some students who are like, I really don't like reading, but I want to pass. They'll quit at that, reasonably easy to reach 60,000 words. But then you have those students who really want to shine and they, or who just really want to get a 100, and they will read up to 200,000 words. So that's one thing I've changed, just seeing how much students are capable of reading with X-Reading.
So this is a question about extensive reading in general, and about X-Reading, but since you mentioned that, you've come to think that students need to read way more than you used to think they needed.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder about the relative weight of extensive reading in the whole of English instruction or language instruction. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, say, if you have you have your students for four hours per week in class, and then you assume that they're going to dedicate 4 hours per week to study English through homework, right? Mm. So you have 8 hours on the whole. Mm. How much of that time should be dedicated to extensive reading?
A good question. I'm a major disciple of Paul Nation and his mm-hmm. four strands. That's one of the things when I read that, it's always what I believe, but to actually see it in writing, the mm-hmm. idea that students need to have, I don't remember exactly his terminology, but it's basically...
I'm thinking of Paul Nation because he suggests that's 1/16th. So that would be, he's 30 minutes.
He says like meaning-focused input, meaning-focused output, language-focused learning, and fluency development. So I think, but extensive reading could be certainly input, meaning-focused input.
It's 3/16ths.
Which is basically a quarter.
I've read this.
That's what I would say as well.
But it's also fluency development, so I can kind of...
So
I can stretch it as half.
No, I would say a quarter. That's where okay. I would... Yeah, I'm not a Krashenite, where I believe, I saw Krashen when he came to Japan in 2004, and he was a plenary speaker at JALT, and he basically said, and I wrote this down, which was, there's nothing any of you can do to help your students learn English. He said that as a plenary speaker.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. So no, I don't believe that. I think students need to have a comprehensible input. It's an important element of learning mm-hmm. language, but I don't think, from my own experience as a language learner, I don't think I would learn very well that way. I think you do need other elements of it. Mm-hmm. I think one of the miscomparisons that are done with extensive reading is they might say, if a student studies this methodology, let's say grammar translation, for an hour a day, and they do extensive reading for an hour a day, and they do it, for a certain amount of time, which one will benefit more? Which methodology? I think grammar translation, but I think those students who are doing extensive reading are going to enjoy it a lot more and have a much more positive feeling about language learning. More so, I think you can't compare an hour a day because students aren't going to do grammar translation for an hour a day where they could easily get into reading and feel that's something they can do. So I don't think, when people say when you compare the two, you have to compare equal amounts of time. I don't agree with that because if you enjoy something and willing to do it more, I think that's an important factor.
Yeah, maybe an hour of grammar translation for most people is not sustainable.
Correct.
In my own experience with junior high school, that's basically what you have. And that's the difference between some people equate Yakudoku and grammar translation, and there are some differences, but basically it's grammar, grammar training, not just grammar translation, but what they do. And they have, that would be 50 minutes a day, 4 days a week.
And then they pass the exam and then
forget about it.
And we say how fluent everybody speaks English around here. when I present the next reading, I always start out with my tennis analogy.
Yeah.
Which is, if you want to learn how to, be a great tennis player, you need to practice the skills. You have to practice serving for hours on end. You have to practice your backhand, in isolation. Mm-hmm. But no tennis coach would ever say to their pupil, just practice those skills and you'll be a great tennis player. No, you also have to practice playing. Just get, pickup games with your teammates, just pure playing the game. And you need both. And if someone was to just play the game and not practice the skills, they wouldn't be very good either. So I think you definitely need
a balance.
Yeah, exactly.
Why and how did you create X Reading?
Okay. It started, the foundations of X Reading started at Temple University, actually from two different courses. In one course, I wrote a course paper on the effect of quizzes on extensive reading. I, kind of like Tom Robb, believe that students needed quizzes to give them that extra motivation and in many cases wanted quizzes. My quizzes were a little bit different and I started actually before I knew of mReader. My quizzes were very, very simple 5-question quizzes that if a student had read the book, they're going to ace that quiz. And they don't have to go back to it. You don't have to look for any details, major details about that book from different parts of the book. So that was one project. And then I had made all these, I wrote all the quizzes myself. And then I had these quizzes and people wanted to have
them.
People wanted those quizzes and I needed a way. Originally, I was administering them in class, paper versions of those quizzes. Later, and then people wanted them, and so I started to build an online system with the help. I had no idea anything online, but a friend of mine was a web developer. Another project in a different class in Temple University, the teacher asked us, it was a tech ed class, and he asked us, if you can imagine any tool you'd want, as long as it's reasonably realistic, but don't worry about the cost, what would be the tool that you would design? And this was, you know, quite a while ago, and I came up with an idea for an extensive listening website where I knew the CDs for graded readers were not, you know, at that time CDs were at least, you know, common, but it still was a lot of limitations. I thought, wouldn't it be great if you had a website where you could listen to the audio and maybe see the pictures of the books to help you understand? So these two projects kind of came together to start X Reading. And then the idea of adding the actual text, I thought would be impossible. Everybody said to me, the publishers would never agree to that. But I made a very solid plan that I thought would really persuade them to basically take this listening site, which I had built with the help of this web developer, and the quizzes, and then add the actual books. And I, you know, came up with this really excellent business proposal. I went up and met all the publishers who had known me from the research I was already doing and promoting extensive reading in general up to that time, and showed them this really good plan. And they all said, yeah, this is a really good plan. I said, well, thank you. And they said, yeah, this is the way of the future. I said, yeah, thank you. So we're going to work together. And they all said, no. I said, but you said it's a great plan. And they said, yeah, it's a great plan, but we're just not really ready to do that. We're concerned with cannibalization of sales. We don't want to share a platform with multiple publishers. Right. Digital management. We don't want people, you know, stealing our content. And pretty much they all had all these reasons. And I would keep going back to Tokyo. I actually made 11 trips to Tokyo in about a year and a half, meeting with publishers, trying to persuade them. And every time I'd show them, you know, I'd show them why that, you know, it was not, there wasn't going to be cannibalization of sales. You know, I was showing them that most, the biggest users of graded readers are actually university students, and none of them are buying graded readers. They're getting them from the library. Right. And I was actually going to my university library, which still put stamps at the back of the book every time a student check out a book. And I was bringing these to the publisher, showing, look, you sold this book, you know, in probably 2007 to the library of this university. And you know, I imagine you sold it for 600 yen. And now look at the back. There's 110 stamps. 110 students have read your book for, you know, I think a subscription system would be, you know, would be much better for you. Yeah. And they said, yeah, that is so true. I said, okay, you're going to partner with me? No, not yet. It was really frustrating. But to be honest, every publisher would say the same thing to me. They said, sorry, we know it's a good idea. If it was up to me, I would do it. Yeah. But I know my boss, usually in the UK or US, is not going to agree. However, and they'd always say this in a low voice, if you find another publisher who agrees to publish, to partner with you, then contact us immediately.
Right.
And sure enough, I finally got Macmillan, which was the easiest publisher to work with because they have more autonomy than the other publishers. Their Japan office.
Mm-hmm.
Was able to decide relatively quickly. Within 48 hours after that, Cengage agreed that they would partner with us. Took a little bit more time, but then Oxford and Cambridge. And once I had the big publishers, then it was easier in some ways to attract the smaller publishers. So that was the challenge. The hardest thing was getting the publishers. And at one point, many of them said to me, we won't consider partnering with you, and one, until you're like a registered business. I was just teaching. I knew nothing about business. So I had to register a business in Japan, which isn't that easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't be a sole proprietor. I had to actually have what's called a Godo Kaisha, and had to get an accountant. And they also said, we want proof of concept. I said, what do you mean proof of concept? They said, well, we want to see that you can actually build a website. Like, so you want me to build a website, but I don't know if I will have any books to put on it. And they said, yeah. So I had to invest in building X Reading without knowing if I would ever have any books to put on it. And it was a pretty big investment, you know, for one guy doing this on their own. So that was the challenge involved. But it seems, you know, in the beginning, like any new website, lots of problems, but it's getting better and we're adding more books. And I think most people using it are very satisfied now.
How many people are using it?
That was my question.
We just passed in Japan 10,000 users, which is I was very happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been growing about 20% every year. So hopefully we'll increase more. What I'm really hoping is that as more teachers start using it, you know, word of mouth, other teachers hear about it,
I don't have a sales team. It's just me, you know, going to conferences. And I'm hoping as more people do research using X Reading, whether it's about X Reading, about digital reading, or just about extensive reading in general, but saying, yes, my students, you know, did this reading, they used X Reading, and, you know, more about the reading itself, the extensive reading than the platform, but just saying that my students couldn't have read this much without a platform. Because I have students that I can see the data. There's students at several universities who are reading 200 to 300 books a year, which I don't think they could have done otherwise.
Yeah. Right. It just wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah. And the other reason I did it was because I knew as a teacher that I wanted my students to have unlimited access to graded readers. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to listen to the audio whenever they want, not have to try to find a CD player.
Yeah, one thing we haven't mentioned, sorry, is that you can regulate the speed of the audio.
Yeah. That was part of my dream when the teacher asked me if you could create any system you wanted. One of the things I came up with was the ability for the student to modify the speed. And that's one thing X-Reading does. And does it so we have the original speed, 10% faster, 20% faster, 10% slower, 20% slower without distortion.
Wow.
And yeah, I can send you a clip. And when you hear how natural it sounds, it's pretty impressive, especially when you listen to 20% faster and then listen to 20% faster without correcting for distortion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's totally different.
You can send us a clip.
Yeah, if you want to add that. Yeah, it really makes a big difference. And it's important because, one, because obviously every student has their own listening speed, but they're forced to listen at the speed of the audio is recorded at. And the second thing is some publishers create the audio at different speeds. Oxford's audio tends to be quite slow, and students get a little bit bored and want to speed it up. Page turners, the audio is actually quite fast, and students would unlikely speed it up. More likely, they would slow it down.
So they can choose.
Yeah, the key point is they can do whatever they need relative to the original audio and their ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, I think it's a very good feature. And we've just, in our newest release, we're constantly updating the system. We just greatly improved the audio player. It was pretty bad before in terms of accessing the different tracks. Now we just have a play button right in the menu bar of the book itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start listening.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. How do you see the future of X Reading?
Okay. Yeah, a bunch of things coming up. One is we just hope to add more books. From my experience, a lot of people say to me before they start using X Reading, oh, only 600 books. I don't know if that's enough for my students. The reality is, since we've passed 300 books, not a single user has complained it's not enough books. When we had 120 in the very early days, teachers would say, yeah, my students have kind of run out of books. But the reality is, with 600 books at different levels, nobody runs out of books. However, I think there's something psychological about passing 1,000. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to get to 1,000 books, hopefully by next year.
Wow.
We want to add more features, a very simple feature, just like a dictionary where you can tap on a word. But it wouldn't just be any dictionary. We have that right now. You know, with the iPhone, you can get a word easily. But this would be a second language dictionary developed specifically for X Reading. That it would be linked to the text itself, so you'd get the meaning specific to that context. Yeah, that's something we'd like to have. And then that could then be saved to the student's personal word list. And then X Reading could become an extensive reading vocabulary learning tool where, you know, we could give exercises and activities using spaced repetition for their specific words, especially the highest frequency words that they've looked up.
What about other countries? Like right now it's available only in Japan? No, United Arab Emirates?
Yeah, so officially Japan and Korea and the UAE, my agreements with the publishers are per country up until now. Right now, I'm right on the verge of finishing global agreements with most of the major publishers, and then it'll be anywhere, which is great because just in the past month, I've gotten emails from random places, Ecuador, which I think is a school that Tom mentioned in his podcast with you, Mongolia, Indonesia, and people, you know, the age of the internet, people can hear about things anywhere in the world that they are. So yeah, we are looking to expand globally.
Great.
Schools anywhere can use it, which would be very good. We're looking to obviously make it multilingual. Another thing we're hoping to do is add books of different languages. So it's not just English extensive reading.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are graded readers from other languages, so we would like to add them. I think I'll just add to its appeal whatever people are teaching, you know, if they're teaching different languages. We'd like to maybe, the system right now, I don't know how much you've looked at it, but it's really, it's not a very exciting website. It's very practical and functional. We might want to, or we plan to make an like an X-Reading Junior, which would mean adding books for younger learners, but also changing the whole
website
to making it more kid-friendly, more gamification, things like that. So that's one idea.
Plenty of things for the future.
Yeah, lots of things going. We're actually, one thing I think worth letting you know is we are going, until now, publishers were opposed to having independent authors add their own books. Because in their opinion, maybe rightfully so, people come to X-Reading not because of the name X-Reading, at least not initially, but because they see Cengage, Cambridge, Macmillan, and then lots of other publishers that they may not even know of, but you know have books access to. So they say, you know, it's quite unfair if then, you know, Joe Teacher adds a book. It turns out to be quite a popular book. They get a portion of the revenue, but nobody went to X-Reading because of them, which was a valid point. But I've come to realize, because we did actually allow one teacher to upload their own book because one school had to have it in part of their curriculum. And that teacher now has gotten other teachers to start using it because of his book. He's excited that people are reading his book. But when other schools use X-Reading, yeah, those students might read his book, but then they read books from all the other publishers. So it's not like if a single author wanted to put 100 books on X-Reading, that would be an issue. But if a single author, which is usually a teacher, adds a book, they're probably going to promote X-Reading because, you know, that's the only way their book is available. And it will bring more revenue to the publishers. So I think it's easy to persuade them that...
It's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, you know, to do that. Yeah. And yeah, so if there's, you know, anybody who's dreamed of writing a graded reader out there interested, then we'd be happy, you know, in other languages as well.
I'm listening.
Yeah. And the other thing we hope to add is our own level system. This kind of ties into submitting your own graded reader. What level does it become? We're using the ER Foundation level system, the one created by Rob Waring. I think it's quite good because it's very comprehensive. I know a lot of people prefer the... They prefer that because it takes into account the actual story. I'm looking to develop our own system that does a little bit of both and preferably can do it... the Yomi Ayusa level system is great, but it's kind of opaque and it comes from one organization. Nobody knows what are the criteria exactly other than what maybe what the person putting it together and maybe his students... say about it, which is, you know, extremely useful. We'd like to develop our own system that takes into account the lexical complexity, grammatical complexity, grammar and syntax. Also takes into account elements of the story, how many characters.
How many characters? That's so important.
Yeah, and we know that for every graded reader in X Reading, we know how many characters it has. We have character lists. We make them for books that don't even have their own character list. Mm-hmm. Is the story told in a linear fashion, or does it have a lot of flashbacks? To be able to, does it have images, all those things, you know, to be able to input that information and come up with an index and then allow students to say, hi, this book is more difficult than it, you know, it should have been, and then modify the level based on that. Yeah. That's something else I think, you know, X-Reading needs.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you. I think it's a huge idea, and I think it's such a good idea and such a natural progression on what extensive reading should be in the future, and I think you deserve everything that I hope for great success for this.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm working at it. I'm working hard, and yeah. I'm hoping more people at least try it out and see that it, you know, the benefits it provides for their students and for themselves as teachers. Yeah, thank you.
Great. Well, should we call it a day?
Let's call it. Let's call it a day.
So thanks a lot.
Thanks again. Thanks again. Wow. So thanks, Paul. That was really good. And I think I really believe what I said, that I think this is the future of extensive reading. So,
yeah, that was I learned a lot, and it's really inspiring, and I really hope it. I mean, I'm sure it's going to promote extensive reading in a really important way. And
yeah, so if anybody's interested, check it out. It's xreading.com. X like the letter X, reading.com. So.
Okay.
So next week, what do we have for next week, Jose?
Well, we are going to interview one of my extensive reading heroes who co-chaired the Extensive Reading World Congress this summer along with Tom Robb, and that's Professor Atsuko Takase. And I'm very, very excited about it. Yeah, so please send in your questions. You can just send us an email at
ER podcast?
No, you got it wrong again. It's EXR, exrpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us a text with your question, or ideally you should be sending us an MP3 file, something you can record on your mobile phone, whatever, and you can be on air. And yeah, so looking forward to that sixth episode next week. Yeah.
So that's it for us.
Yeah. So, Paul,
if you'll join us.
Absolutely.
3, 2, 1. Happy reading.